I want to dive into a study. It's not going to be a long one, you know, 5-6 weeks or so, but I want to dive into a study just called Walking with God. And this study is going to have as its backdrop, we'll jump around, but it's going to have as its backdrop 1 John. And this evening's teaching I'm calling The Effects of Light on Life. The Effects of Light on Life. And I want to read the entire chapter, first chapter of John. It's short. I think it's only 10 verses long, something like that. And so let's take a look at this. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard." How can you hear something from the beginning? How can you hear something from so far back as the beginning? "Which we have seen with our eyes." How can you see something from the very beginning? "Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested." Everybody say manifested. Manifested. I love that word. Because God has an intention to make himself known to you. That's what Christianity is all about. I feel bad for some people because some people, to them, God is no closer to them. They feel the same distance from God that they would feel in an icon in a church, that they would see somewhere, a statue, a picture, a body, a cross, and that they don't feel any closer to God than just types and shadows. There are people that just know that there's something out there behind everything, but they have no contact with that person, that being at all. There are people that come to church on an ongoing basis, but never have a relationship at all with Jesus Christ. The very thing that they espouse in their life has no real effect on their day-by-day living. No, it has no real effect on their life. And God wants to manifest himself to you so that word of life that was in heaven and dwelling there with the Father was sent to the earth for an express purpose, that express purpose being for you to interact with it. God came so that he could interact with you, so that you could know him, so that you could get close to him. Sunday, I want to talk a little bit more about Abram and how he stood before the Lord and interacted with God over Sodom and Gomorrah. God was so patient with Abram as Abram made his way in this thing with God, trying to figure out how deep into the purposes of God can I go? How deep will he allow me to go? And God was so patient with him to stand there with him and wait on him and let him go deeper and let him go deeper into the purposes of God. God has come so that he can interact with you, so that you can know him and so he can manifest himself to us. "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you." That's the preaching of the gospel. "That which we have interacted in, we declare to you." Interacted with. The person that we have interacted with, we declare to you. We're not talking to you about a philosophy. We're not talking to you about a better way of living. We're not talking to you about a key to success. Although things will happen in your life, we understand. We know that. But that which we have seen and heard, that which we have interacted with and know, we bring to you. That's the heart of Christianity. That's the preaching of Christianity. "So that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." Joy based on what? A relationship with God. Interaction with God. knowing God. That's where the joy comes from. This is the message which we heard from Him first and declare to you. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, then we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's an interesting comment there. He says we have fellowship. Our walking in the light creates something. What does it create? Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And His word is not in us. Now, it's really difficult to study the Word of God, and I took the book of 1 John as an example because it comes out so clearly here. It's difficult to study the Bible and not pick up really, really quickly that there is a dramatic proposal being made by heaven to us. And that dramatic proposal is to present to us and give to us the intimate knowledge of God and intimate connection to God. That's what we're being offered from heaven. Intimate knowledge of God, intimate connection to God. So many people's mind races around their problems. And I understand, I'm not perfect. I've got problems too. But so many people, their mind just circles around their problems when God is really encouraging them, move away from your problems and move into the offer that I have to you, which is an intimate knowledge of me and an intimate connection to me. And stop focusing on you and on your problems. Move into the purpose for which I came, which is to have an intimate connection with me. And when we read the words of John, I love John's writings because, boy, John just says, well, let me just put it this way. Have you ever tried to witness to somebody and you try to talk to them about the four spiritual laws and you try to talk to them and then there's disagreements and arguments that come back. Well, is God real? Is all this kind of thing? Well, let me tell you, you put all that to rest when you start saying, we touched Him. We heard Him. Our hands touched Him. We handled it. I mean, we have interacted with Him. The Bible says that when the disciples were preaching and the scribes and Pharisees were trying to figure out why these guys were so on fire, it says they took knowledge that they were ignorant and unlearned men. They go, well, these are guys that are not necessarily trying to put forth a philosophy. These are not guys that are learned in philosophy. It says they took knowledge that their zeal and their power came from the fact they had been with who? Jesus. With Jesus. They had been with Jesus. They were associated with Him. They knew Him. They spoke in those terms. They spoke in terms of knowing Jesus in the heart of God. And that's what they told people, and that's what flowed through their lives and their actions. And the connection to that person connected them to purpose. It connected them to the beginning, that which was from the beginning. It connected them to what was going on in the now. The life was manifested, and we saw it. It connected them to what was going on to the future. Eternal life all throughout heavens, all throughout the heavens, and all throughout eternity. And they were connected to purpose through their connection to the person. And they understood that nothing in life was random and that everything that was happening with them was whether it was in the past and being used now to glorify God, whether it's in the present and it's a hard time or a good time, or whether whatever was going to happen in the future, all of that was being used by this person. Nothing was random, and it was all being used by this person for a purpose, and that purpose to bring about intimate knowledge and connection with God. Everything, your mistakes that you made, your sins that you made before you knew God, are all being used right now by God to bring about intimate connection and purpose to Him. They're not aimless. They're not random. You don't have to look back on them anymore and be filled with regret. You can say, look back on them and say, I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I have been born again. But praise God, even the filth of my past is being used by Jesus to bring about a closer connection to Him. Oh, my goodness. God is so good. Christianity doesn't have anything to do with do's and don'ts. It has to do about living in a life-giving relationship with God. Something, an intimate knowledge of God, which equates to relationship. The whole teaching of 1 John, most of 1 John centers around one theme, fellowship. 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 What is fellowship? Well, in the New Testament, we know, which was written in Greek, we know the word for fellowship is koinonia. And properly what that means is that that's talking about what is shared in common as the basis of fellowship, partnership, community. You know, we take communion on, you know, at least once a month around here. We take communion, right? Look at that word. The word communion is made up of two words, common union. Common union. Common union. It's not talking about a religious exercise or a religious rite. It's talking about a relationship. And that's what everything is all about in our faith with God. And look at these words. I mean, look at them. Common, fellowship, partnership, community, that which is shared. All of those words speak very powerfully to us of a familial knowledge of God and of a common destiny with God. Somebody's so worried about their future. If you're a believer, you're going to end up with Jesus. You're going to end up where Jesus ends up.
Yes, yes.
And you're not going anywhere He doesn't go with you. His plan is to be with you all the way through life and welcome you into the next, and you spend eternity with Him in that life. We share common destiny with the Lord through a powerful relationship with Him. In our faith and through what Jesus has done, we've had created this intimate contact with the Word of Life. Now, I love that name, the Word of Life, because when I see the term Word, then I know truth. The truth of what? The truth of life, Zoe, the Spirit. And all these things have been given to us so that we can have intimate contact with the truth of the Spirit, which brings about a situation in our life which we are transformed into the type of worshipers that Jesus said the Father was seeking in John 4:24, which those who worship Him in what? In spirit and in truth. How do we worship Him in spirit and truth? Through contact and fellowship with the Word of Life. The truth of the Spirit. It's powerful. It's not a form of worship. It's an integration into a relationship. And the acceptance of that and the desire to move into that and deeper into that. So the goal is fellowship, right? That's the goal. Quit trying to work on yourself to change yourself. You may need to change. I may agree with you about that. You may look at my life and say, Pastor, you need to change. And I'll agree with you about that. Rhonda will certainly agree with you about that. And I will too. But why our focus is not on our need to change in Christianity. If that's what your focus is on, you're missing the boat. Our focus is on having an intimate and close fellowship with Jesus. That's what your focus needs to move to. Get your eyes off of yourself, off of your imperfections, is what I'm trying to say, and get as your goal to move into a deep and life-giving relationship with Jesus. Make that your goal instead of self-improvement. Okay, somebody said, well, you don't understand. Some of my habits are ruining my life. Yeah, I do understand. I've had a few that were messing my life up too. But you're not going to be able to change yourself in case you haven't figured that out yet. So what you're going to need to do, the whole thing that you need to do right now is to put that change on the back burner as you press into a relationship with Jesus. As he opens his arms and invites you in, you go in. And you go in as deep as he keeps standing there and allowing you to go. As deep as the invitation is, go into that place. And then I'll show you what's going to happen to you. Now, those who embark on the journey, on that type of journey, will begin to change because of the nature of the one they're in communion with. Okay? You don't have to change yourself. You press into relationship and union with him and partnership with him and fellowship with him. You press in there and you cannot stay the same because of, not because you're trying to change yourself, but because of the nature of the one you're in communion with. You can't stay there. He will change you. His nature will change you. It's a journey of revelation. The Bible, John said it this way. John said it this way. John said, God is light. The inference being here, not that you can't look at him because he's too bright. That's not necessarily the inference there. Wrong, I know. I got the word right the second time. That's not the inference. The inference of light is revelation and purity. Revelation and purity is the inference. When John says God is light, that's what he's saying. He is a God of revelation. How many of you just want to know more? Get close to him. Talk to him. Fellowship with him. Get there with him. And if you need to change, get as close to him as you can, because he's light, he's revelatory, and he's purity. And get as close to him as you can in relationship with him. He wants you to come close. That's why he came. He wants to manifest himself to you. That's why he came. And you can argue with him all day and say, I'm not at the place where I should be close to you. You can argue, say, use that argument all day and all that. You're never going to change his mind about what he came for, what he wants to do. The best thing you can do is move in. Move in. Everybody say move in. Move in. Move in to where he is. Move in there and allow him to manifest himself to you, because that's the whole purpose of why he came. The whole purpose of Christianity. Okay? So in God, there's no darkness. There's no moral mixture. There's no false character. And there's no lack of understanding in God. And so, John shares with us, and the Bible shares with us, some relational truths about why Jesus came, what he wants to do, and what happens when we begin to press into that relationship with him. The first one being this. If you're so much worried about yourself and what's got a hold of you and saying, I've got to get free, Pastor, I understand those thoughts. But get your mind off of that. Press into the relationship that's been opened up for you. And this is a relational truth that you will begin to discover. You cannot walk with God and continue to live in darkness. And what I mean when I say that is, you can't do that because God will start breaking it off of you. Okay, you're not, in other words, just look at your neighbor and preach to him. Say, you're not going to stay where you are. And not because you're trying to jump up and down and please God and bend over backwards and chewing Nicorette or whatever. I'm not against that if that's what God tells you to do, but that, you understand what I mean? It's because you're getting into a close, intimate relationship with God, and when you get in there and begin to live with him on a day-by-day basis, not because of who he is, but because of you are, but because of his nature, he'll start to break the darkness out of your life. He'll break it out. You can't walk with him on a day-by-day basis and stay bound. Jesus said this in John 8:12. He spoke to the people and he said, I am the light of the world. I am. Whoever follows me. Okay, now this is relational talk. This doesn't say whoever takes a creed, whoever takes an oath, whoever goes through this rite of passage, whoever, you know, can make a hajj, you know, make the trip, like a Muslim thing, whoever does, he says, whoever will follow me, that's a relational term, whoever will go with me. He looked at Abram, and what did he say to Abram? Walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me, and then he said, and you know what a byproduct of walking with me is? You'll be blameless. And you know what that blameless means? That's not a behavior. That means he goes, I will make you into a person of integrity. Integrity is not a bunch of acts of behavior. Integrity means wholeness. I will make you whole. Walk with me. And through that fellowship with me, you will become whole. That's what he told Abraham. This is that's Old Testament stuff. And Jesus says, whoever follows me will never walk. And walk, remember, it doesn't mean you won't do something wrong. Walk is a term of consistency. You will never consistently live in darkness. It will not be a consistent thing in your life. But will have the light of life, but will have the revelation of the Spirit. The light, that's revelation, of life, Zoe, that's the Spirit. You'll have the revelation of the Spirit if you walk with me. Oh, and those who walk with Jesus live in revelation. And I love the revelation of God. Let me tell you, I love being able to work with my father in his business. I love that. I love being able to work alongside God. And here's what I mean. You're in the altar. You're just sitting there and you're just praying for somebody. Or you're just going on a day-by-day basis and ministering. And all of a sudden you get a testimony. And somebody says, you're not going to believe what happened. Or you see something happen. And you just go, way to go, Dad. That's awesome. And man, to be able to sit here and see that happen is just, it's a blast. It's awesome. Awesome, awesome. But something that's right up there with that, if not beyond that, is just being able to get revelation from God. Where he begins to unfold things to you. Anybody else understand what I'm saying? Man, you'll get hooked on that. You'll get hooked on that. That'll drive you back to the Bible and back to prayer. Not some kind of Pastor Bob trying to cajole you to do it. You know? It will be once you get there. Pastor Larry Lee used to say, a consistent prayer life is a product of going from desire to discipline to delight. Okay? When you get there, when you're able to get there and get into the presence of God and press in, and then the next thing you know, He starts unfolding things to you. And your spirit starts jumping. And you start feeling like life juice has been put into your veins and it's just beginning to pour in. And you go, God, that's awesome. Oh my goodness, that's amazing, amazing. That feeling right there takes you back to the next time. Not because if you don't go, you're a sinner and don't love God, I don't care about God. It's that I want to spend time with Him. And the invitation is open. And I want to go because let me tell you, when we get in there and He begins to reveal Himself, ain't nothing like that. Everybody say, ain't nothing. It's a double negative. Not good. But there's nothing like that. And the revelation is constant. And it releases that which is necessary for us to walk in life. To walk in life. And what is life? Well, that's when it's speaking of life, it's talking about the physical presence and of a spiritual existence. So it is the place, I wrote something down here, it's the place of a successful partnership of this world and the spirit world. A successful partnership, not a partnership based on sin, but a successful one where the spirit is ruling in this realm. And that's a product of getting into that place and with the Word of Life and spending time there. John says, if we say we know God and we say we're walking with Him, yet we live a life that reflects darkness, then we're lying to ourselves and to others. The tragedy is, first of all, we're lying to ourselves. Now, when we lie to others, that's something called hypocrisy. Okay, we're purporting to be something that we're really not. We're putting on a mask, but underneath the reality is different from what we're portraying. It's an acting term, hypocrisy. But when we're lying to ourselves, that's duplicity. We're deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves about who we really are. And when you're lying to yourself about who you really are, you're just about as far away from being delivered as you can be. Now, if you get close to the light, you can't lie about who you are. Why? Because the light, what does it do? It reveals everything, makes everything manifest and known. And that's not, brothers and sisters, that's not to put you down. That's a safety for us. There are so many people that are afraid of being put down by other people and they feel so bad about themselves that they won't let anyone close enough to have any input into their life. But God loves you. And whether you know it or not, you need input about your life. Because you can lie to yourself just as easy as the devil can lie to you about where you are and what's going on with your life and what the real causes are. And if you think you ever get to the place where you're beyond that, you're already deceived. Deception has already set in. And I've seen some Christians where they get to the place, they go, you know what? I mean, I'm immune. I'm immune to the effects of sin now. I'm smart enough. I've been walking with God long enough. I'm immune. And then the next thing they know, they start dabbling in some stuff. And those things start having an effect on them. But they're deceiving themselves to the place they can't even see it. And then when the light comes on, a lot of times they'll get mad at the one who turned the light on. Or the one who is the light. How could you do this? And the Lord says, I'm not being anything other than me. And I do this because I love you. And you know what? There's safety in Christ. Away from Him, there's deception. And I'm talking about self-deception too. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I know the Word. I've been saved 632 years. And I know the Word, and that's just not possible anymore. You're already there. You're already there. You've already got the disease. Now, you're set up for the failure. You're set up for the fall now. The appropriate conditions have been put in your life to set you up for the fall. Because if the enemy can't get you through temptation, then he'll slide up next to you. If he can't get you to tempt you to come over here and start fellowshipping with this stuff, this is really what's going to help you. I know you're stressed out. I know you need things. I know you need attention. Don't you get tired of waiting on God? You know, that's the thing when the enemy told the Israelites at the bottom of the mountain. Don't you get tired of waiting on this dude? I mean, how long has he been up there? We don't even know if he's going to come down. You know? And we just... And so the enemy comes along, and if he can't get you to bite for fellowship with his things, then he'll just slide up around you, and he'll say, you know what? You are an awesome person of God. I've never seen anybody as smart as you. Never seen anybody as devoted as you. Never seen anybody as far above corruption as you are. And boy, he'll start talking to you like that for a while, and the next thing you know, pride starts coming in and entering in. And you start believing it, and then the next thing you know, when you start believing that, you believe you're above reproach. Then if he can't, the sin of pride's already entered in, which pride cometh before a what? Why I fall? Because God has to bring us down from our self-imposed high position, bring us back to the truth, so that he can work in our lives. That's what a fall is. Our self-imposed high position brought down in that back to where the truth is so that he can continue to work in our lives. And then, you know, if you think you're immune, if you think you're Superman, Superwoman, then you can go anywhere, do anything. And another thing the enemy will do, he'll say, there's no one else like you. There's a lot of other people out there. If there's others like you, they're not here. And he'll say, isn't it kind of lonely being in your situation like you are? Nobody understands you. You're above everybody else. And he'll say, man, why don't you, man, you need to do some things to take care of yourself. All this sacrifice, all this. You understand what I'm saying? And then the next thing you know, you're hanging out places you shouldn't be or doing things you shouldn't be. And then when somebody, a dear friend, comes up to you and says something to you about it, you go, I'm above it. And you don't understand because you're not me. In other words, you ain't as powerful as me. You know, you don't flow in the circles I flow in spiritually. So there ain't no way you can understand this. So don't even talk to me about it. Right? It happens. It's how the Lord makes a lot of pastors fall. I mean, the Lord. The Lord doesn't make them fall. That's how the Satan makes them fall. And he can't get them to go after things, and he'll come to them through the pride thing. And through, man, nobody goes through what you go through. Look at the sacrifice you made. Look at the sacrifices you've made. And people just walk off. You know, or whatever. And then he'll say, when's it going to be your time? When are you going to get to receive some of the benefits of this devotion you have to God? And boy, it's like, and if you're hurting anywhere on the inside, unresolved business, that sounds good. I'm in agreement with you. And then when other people come to you and talk to you about it, then you start saying things like, I've got a special deal with God because I flow in circles where you don't. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you don't know what kind of pressure I'm under. You don't understand it. So don't even talk to me about this. The light keeps that from happening. The light keeps that from happening. And the walking with Jesus changes our life into that which reflects how He lives. And His nature can create nothing else or nothing less. Second thing I wanted to bring out to you, second relational truth, our nature is in a constant state of growth into the life of God. The truth of the matter is that we're created beings, and as created beings, we can never live totally the life of God, totally as a created being. Okay, we're finite. God is infinite. There are things about us, about our place, that we will never in this life get to the place where we're beyond a sin or a temptation, where we're beyond that. You know, I don't know what Charles Manson, he was beta clear in Christian Science, I don't know whatever. But yeah, you know, and then he's doing all this stuff. He had gone to the highest level, but he was really messed up in Christian Science or whatever that is, or diuretics or Dianetics, or no, it's a diuretic. Isn't that something that makes you go to the restroom, moves fluid? We're never going to get there because we're created beings. Okay? We're not on this plane, not right here. But it's an amazing thing that the life of God, Ron, can be manifested in that which is created. The finite reflecting the infinite. Everything created, now think about this, the Bible tells us this, everything created has its own testimony of God. Everything. But humanity has a unique status in the midst of all that. We're able to manifest the very nature of God in a multifaceted way. Now, there may be things, some created things can reflect God's knowledge, but not His wisdom. Some created things can reflect God's nature, can reflect His nature, but not live it. Water can reflect some things about the nature of God, but it can't live the nature of God. Okay? Some created things can reflect God's love, but not His holiness. You know, we can see animals love only their young and stuff, and we can see the heart of God and the nurturing of God, but they can't necessarily live the full faceted. They can't grow into the full faceted reflection and revelation of who God is, or a multifaceted reflection. But humanity has a unique calling to be able to reveal God through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," didn't He? Look at what else He said in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "You are the light of the world." Now He's talking to His followers, right? Those that are in communion with Him. Those that are in fellowship with Him. He said, "You are the light of the world." Through your fellowship and communion with God, the light dwells in you. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and what does it do? It gives light to everyone in the house. Man, that light is operating in you. Your house is the life of your house of life is illuminated with revelation and changing through that revelation and the presence of that light. And that light shining outside of you and illuminating everything around you. That's why some people don't like you. Because they don't want the illumination. And you're not trying to do that on purpose. You're not standing up there going, "Let's sit down here and let me do a list of the things you're doing wrong." It's kind of like George Costanza's dad, you know. "We're going to celebrate Festivus. We're going to start with the airing of grievances. I have a big problem with you people." That's not what we do. We're not sitting down doing that. It's just the light in us. We're just going around and they do things and you don't, and that shines light, you know what, and it reveals, and the next thing you know, they're under conviction. Not because you preached them down the aisle and told them that they're going to go to hell if they don't know Jesus. It was because of the light that's in communion inside of you. It's the common union between you and God. The common union. Somebody's going to go home. That's going to be your new word for the rest of this year, because we're starting off the Jewish New Year. Common union. You're going to get away from behavior and self-change, and you're going to start living in common union. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. In the same way, let your light shine before others, because it manifests your Father in heaven. Because through you, the Father's manifested. I came to manifest myself to you. And boy, when he's manifesting himself to you, he's also manifesting himself to other people. You know? So awesome. Got just a tiny bit more, but I'll stop and tell a story. You've heard this story before, but I don't care. I may have even told it recently, but I'm old. Older now. But it fits. I told you the story about the guy that I worked with for a while. And he really wanted to live in union with Christ. He really wanted Christ to fellowship with him. Boy, it was a desire of his heart. One day he's standing in line at the grocery store. And he's about three people back from the cashier. And the guy, and he hears the Holy Spirit speak to him. He's got his groceries in the bank. He hears the Holy Spirit speak to him and say, see that guy standing in front of you? He says, I want you to tell him that I'm interested in him. Okay, so you've been working hard all day. And he said, here's my response. Can I not just go buy milk? That's all I came in here for. You understand what I'm saying? All I wanted to do was just buy milk. And you can't, you know, I'm on my time now. You ain't got no time without him. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, Lord, you know how we do, right? Anybody ever done that? And look at him, he said. Guy had spikes sticking out of his face and hair all over, and he was all in goth, and he said, look at him. He ain't going to want to hear what this anyway. The Lord said, well, I want you to talk to him, tell him I'm interested in him. Okay. So, you know, that's always fun to start those conversations. It's really not as hard as you think. You just tap them. Excuse me. Oh, yeah. He says, you know, I was standing in here in line, And you know what? I don't know what's going on with you, man, but the Lord just spoke to me and told me he is interested in you and what's going on with you. So, then, you know, my friend's sitting there waiting for the move. You know what I mean? But the guy looked at him, and he didn't say anything right away, but then he kind of looked. He says, you know, that's interesting. He said, my dad's a pastor. He said, I've been thinking a lot about how I grew up lately and what my dad taught me. He said, years ago, I got disappointed and, you know, I got tired of that life and people eating each other up. He said, and I just walked away from all that. I didn't want it anymore. If I'd have been him, I'd have said, I don't blame you. But you know, if I'd have been there with him. But he said, but, you know, it's funny that you talk to me, because I've been thinking about going back to Jesus. He said, and your talking to me just is a confirmation that what I think I'm hearing is the right thing to do. So he looks at him and he says, well, man, you know, I'll be praying for you. He said, I'll be praying for you. He said, I encourage you that when you leave out of here, you really pay close attention to that and you act on that and you do it as right away He said, because I think you're right. This is a confirmation. He goes, because I know the Lord. He goes, I'll be honest with you. I was tired, and when the Lord told me this, I didn't really want to do it. Not because I don't like you, but just I don't know you. But I was, you know, he goes, I know it was God. And so the guy goes, well, thank you. Well, he's so excited that he obeyed God. Isn't it fun to work with you in your dad's shop? Isn't it fun? And you're sitting there going, thank you. Don't ever let up on me. Don't ever let me be able to excuse my way out of this. That was awesome. So he's paying for his groceries. He's so excited. He walks into the parking lot. He's carrying his groceries with him. He's just thanking God. Tears coming down his face because he didn't listen to himself. That's what he was grateful about. And all of a sudden he hears this guy going, Mister, Mister, Mister. And this guy's running toward him in the parking lot. And the guy says, Mister, you left your wallet back there. You know, he was so grateful and out of it, you know, he left his wallet. He goes, you left your wallet back there. And he goes, thank you for bringing that to me, man. Thank you so much. And the guy says, you know, I was standing behind you in line. The light. Everybody say the light. The light. The guy said, I was standing behind you in line. He didn't even notice this dude. He knew somebody was behind him, but he didn't notice him because he was so focused on this. He said, and I heard what you said to that guy. He said, that really spoke to me. So he got two. He got a twofer. And I always say, man, when you bring God into an interaction, you don't know what's going to happen. Anything is possible. You bring him to an interaction into the restaurant. You don't know who's watching. You don't know what's happening. You don't know what he's doing. You may be focused on one thing, and he's off here doing some other things while this is happening, too. You know? And that guy said, I saw what you, man, that really touched me. And he said, I know you don't know me. He said, but I'm gonna act on this. The light. And all that started and was a product of a conversation between my friend and God. Fellowship. That's it. And the marriage of the spirit and the natural came together, and the spirit worked through the natural and revealed Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Ray Northrup and I were talking today, and I'm almost done, I promise. Somebody said, I hope so. Ray Northrup and I were talking today about the value of relationship with God. And you know, you can have change without relationship with God, but you can't have transformation without relationship with God. And you don't have to focus on transforming yourself, as I said. You just get into relationship with God. You seek him with all your heart. You go where he goes, and I'm going to tell you, you'll transform. Jesus said to the disciples at the side of the sea, he said, follow me, and I will make you to become something you're not right now. I'll make you to become fishers of men. But what I hear him saying is, I'll make you follow me. That's all I'm asking. You follow me and get with me. I'll turn you into something you're not right now. Isn't that good? One of my favorite places when we went to Israel is we went where Jesus Peter. Restored Peter by the seaside. Man, that touched me. Gloria, did you like that? I got in trouble there. But by one of the priests screamed at me. But that place, I was just looking for a place to go to the restroom. But that, and I went into the sacristy. And that was a no-no. So we'll look like it might have a bathroom in here. But that was awesome because that change in Peter was all a product of relationship. So the third thing, let me share this scripture. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, well, we with all with unveiled faces. Now, veils were used extensively in the Israeli culture. And we know that most of our contact now with a veil is in the wedding veil, and that's kind of going by the way. But a veil in Israeli culture was often used to protect something. are to protect that which is holy from that which is not. Okay, a woman wore a veil because if she was a virgin, it protected her from prying things from the outside. And then when her dad gave her away to her husband, he lifted the veil, okay, for that relationship. For that relationship to be face to face. So it says we with our unveiled face, okay, contemplating the Lord's glory. In other words, that's not thinking, that's fellowshipping in that glory. Are being what? Transformed into His image with ever increasing. So it's not like we get perfect at one point in time, but it's an ever increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Unveil your face. Stop trying to change your behavior and unveil your face. And the final thing is walking with God creates an atmosphere of true fellowship with others. Intimacy with God creates intimacy with others. I'm sorry, some of you don't like people. And I can understand being hurt by people. I watched Life Below Zero. You know that woman that, anybody ever watch Life Below Zero reality show? You know the woman that lives way up at the top of Alaska that has the fuel refueling depot. They asked her why she's up there. She goes, I don't like people. That's what she said. And I understand it because people can hurt you. You understand what I'm saying? But intimacy with God's going to create intimacy with others. He's going to heal you too. That's the good news. He's just not going to throw you on a cheese grater. You know what I mean? But while we're not complete in His character, walking with God reveals His character in the places in which we need to be transformed into what we've had revealed. And then His power, as we submit His power, transforms us. This process in and of itself with us and God requires honesty, repentance, submission, and love. And where you have those things operating, brothers and sisters, where you have honesty, repentance, submission, and love operating, then you have the conditions present to have intimacy with another person in your life. The goal is that you'll have fellowship with Him, but you also going to have fellowship with us. And he who walks in the light has fellowship with one another. Why? Because the light is revealing things that are interfering with our intimacy with one another. And as we deal with those things between us and God, it begins to create open the appropriate conditions for us to be in intimacy with one another. Some people say, I don't have a problem with God, but I got a big problem with people. Well, let me tell you, as we get further in the book of 1 John, you're going to find out if you got a problem with people, then you got a problem with because intimacy with God and fellowship with God creates fellowship with other people. Now that comes through what? Repentance, submission, transparency, humility, and obedience, and trust, and love, right? That's where it comes through. And you don't have responsibility for somebody else's side, but let me tell you, you can sure take the bridge down on your side. You know what I mean? And you can say, man, I'm open for business. And then you trust God to, you remember how that interaction happened in the grocery line? Trust God to have that same interaction happen with your spouse. I ain't focused on what they're doing. I'm focused on me and Jesus. Well, you do that and you focus on that and you start walking in the light and all of that stuff, then the light starts shining through you, and I'm going to tell you, if there's anything in that other person that wants fellowship with God and intimacy with you, that light will draw them. And start And when that light draws them in, guess what? Starts changing them. You know? Anybody ever experienced that? Boy, I have. Rhonda was a mess. I'm telling you. It was a mess. No, we both were. We were holy messes. And the way, that's why when I get in counseling with somebody, and I say, now I'm not going to work with you unless you're willing to focus on yourself. Well, you don't understand. What about my wife? Okay, well, we'll talk about how Jesus can flow through you to her. Yes, we'll talk about that. But she ain't here. So you have no excuse for communing with God. The door's wide open. So are you going to commune with him or not? Because if you're not, I'll let you go. And when you get ready to do that, I'll be here. You see what I'm saying? Otherwise, we're just wasting time, really. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this. I had fun. I don't know about anybody else, but... But Lord, I just praise you so much. And boy, this is another way, brothers and sisters, you get free from the control of other people. When you make it between you and Jesus, you can start getting free from other people's stuff. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I want to walk with you. If you want to walk with him, just tell him, man, your arms are open and I'm coming in. I'm coming in as deep as I can come. I want to know you. My wife prays this sweet prayer. I want to know you as you can be known on this earth. And Father, that's what we want. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.